Hello friends, welcome back to Destructo Discourse Good Time. This is a Dragon Ball GT Rewatch Podcast. I am your host, Jason, and joining me on the discourse this week is Aaron.
Kiru Kiru.
And Melissa.
Danger, danger.
I'm feeling alarmed. I'm feeling very attacked.
No, we're here to save you.
I feel like Gear automatically just enables push notifications on every app he installs.
Oh, for sure.
He is a push notification.
A push notification given robotic flesh. On this show, we watch episodes of extant anime Dragon Ball GT, and we talk about them and crack fun witticisms and humors for you, the people.
We try.
We do our, you know what? We do our best.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this week we are covering episodes 13, 14, 15, and 16.
That's so many.
Four whole episodes.
And I'm going to tell you this. This is a little plot twist, spoiler warning. On the wiki, like denoting episodes and like what saga they go into. This is the end of the Black Star Dragon Ball episode, saga.
What?
We don't... Yep. Spoiler alert for this episode, we don't find them all.
Nope, we sure don't. But it says, it's going right into the next one, which we'll get to whenever we get to it, of course.
I mean, wow. there is an episode within these four that's called The Beginning of the End, but it's, episode 15.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know how many episodes there are. It's 64.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
how could the beginning of the end start all the way back here?
I mean, it's just kind of the same as as soon as you start living, you start dying.
I mean, I guess
as soon as you start airing, you start getting canceled.
Get busy, Giru, or get busy. No, that didn't go anywhere.
You're the professional animator, but I feel like is that how canceling works?
Depends on the network.
Oh.
Depends on the whims of the corporate CEOs and how they're feeling on a particular day.
Ain't that just the way?
Mm-hmm.
Depends on the whims of a machine god that we feed our doll-shaped employees to.
You figured it out. That's how animation is made.
I knew it!
Wow.
So, before we get into this week's discourse of our topics.
I like that term. That's good.
Discourse.
Discourse. A quick question. A prompt for you both.
Mm-hmm.
As a recording, we're in the throes of August, and an episode featured in this week, it takes place on a desert planet. So my question to you is, how do you beat that summer heat? How do you do it?
Honestly, I just sweat. Wear cool clothes and I just kind of accept that, you're just gonna get sweaty and that's how I get cool. This is my body's way of doing it.
Yeah, that's very natural. It's like, I've accepted this, this is my reality.
This is what I get for putting myself in this position, where I'm in the sun.
It's not gonna change. Maybe that's from, working at a place where I was working outside for most of the time.
Mm.
There's no air conditioning anywhere, so I'm gonna just give up hope on being not hot. Give in and accept your fate.
I've been lucky enough to live a full life of air conditioning, which I know that not everyone has, but that's aces if you got it. But having grown up in particularly hot places, both in Texas and in Georgia, swimming pools are pretty good to a point. Because I have gotten home, I had an hour-long drive and my AC decided to go out when it was 100 degrees outside.
Oh.
And then I got home and I was like, I live in a place that has a pool. I'm going to go jump in the pool. And I did, and the pool was the exact same temperature as the air, and it was not pleasant whatsoever.
It was soup. You went into a soup.
Yep.
You mean Melissa soup.
Yep.
Melissa
might
soup.
As well just get in the bathtub. Yeah.
Yuckers. Aaron, I unfortunately must reject the natural state of the world. I will conquer it with cold, hard technology.
Oh, if I have the option to beat the summer heat and air conditioning, I'll do that.
True. I recently got a portable AC unit, which is great, because the thing about this apartment is that, I mean, it's a nice apartment, but, like, it's an apartment that was, like, built in the 70s. Mm. And the air conditioner works if you are on the first floor. But it does not. It cannot take the stairs. It cannot handle vertical travel of any kind. So, and the way I'm positioned, the sun just unceremoniously cooks my room from like dawn till dusk. So,
just hammered by that star.
Basically, so I installed this massive R2-D2 looking. dingus that with like a big tube that goes out my window and I just let it blast me into the Arctic zone. And it's after many a summer of like of putting it off, and you know, it's like it's a summer's almost over, I can hold off until fall, then I'm set, I don't have to worry about it. I finally caved and I am in bliss.
Good for you.
Thank you.
It's a very good achievement.
I'm proud of you.
The only other thing I really enjoy that I haven't, well, obviously for right now, haven't experienced for a while, but even before that, is at like parks, like at your like Six Flags or a Ren Fair, or, like that kind of park.
Oh, yeah.
Those like misters that you can walk through.
I love
a mister.
Yeah, that's good.
They have like some of those at like the Cincinnati Zoo, I think.
It's like sweat, but you don't have to do it.
Yeah, they do it for you.
Yeah,
and it's more evenly distributed.
Yeah,
yeah.
A fine spritzing.
I do have to say that a slushy is also a good way.
I love
a good icy drink.
Mm. Give me an icy. Give me a frozen Pepsi. Give me like. I mean, this is what happens whenever I go to a movie. I want small thing of popcorn, big icy, massive.
But then you have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the movie.
I have to do that anyway because I have a bladder the size of a peanut M&M. So it's really six on one, half dozen on the other for me.
Just lean into it.
Yeah.
Enjoy your curse.
I didn't choose the small bladder life. The small bladder life chose me. And on that note, let's take a quick break. I'll be right back. I'm kidding. Are you guys ready to get in to the discourse?
Ready as I'll ever be. Yeah.
Let's pull back that curtain. In fact, episode 13 of Extant Anime Dragon Ball GT is The Man Behind the Curtain.
Japanese title roughly translates to, like father and son, the mysterious scientist's Mew.
We begin this episode with kind of the way that our cliffhanger left us off last time, with the statue of Lord Lude creaking and crackling, and it awakens, and Goku, Trunks, and Giru look very concerned.
When are these guys gonna stop being afraid and start getting excited for big fights?
Yeah.
We already know Goku loves big fights.
He does.
He's tiny now, so everything seems that much bigger.
I feel like he loved big fights even when he was a baby, though.
He did. Maybe the cultists were right, and this thing is putting out just universal apocalyptic levels of power.
Okay. I believe that. This creature is finally awakened.
Awoken.
Awoken. and reveals its true form from the statue.
It's a baby.
Aaron and Melissa, were you expecting this?
I wasn't. I wasn't expecting Seymour from Dinosaurs.
I mean, what can you really expect, honestly?
Fair.
Expect the unexpected.
Our heroes are pit against Lude, which is a giant-looking machine baby. And it is here that I'll reveal the Japanese name pun. Lude, in Japanese, is Rudo. If you spin it around, it's Doru, or doll.
Doru. Of course.
They love those, don't they?
It's a baby doll.
Mm. Master Deltaki lets... I keep wanting to call him Master Del Taco.
Just do it.
Every time
he doesn't deserve his proper name.
I mean, I don't know that Del Taco deserves to be associated.
We don't want to besmirch the Del Taco dynasty.
That's fair. Sorry, Del Taco.
Yeah.
I mean, they did come second, so... Right? Mm. Probably. They chose this. Maybe they named themselves after him.
I've never been to a Del Taco, but, like, I can't prove that, like, the servers all don't have that weird haircut.
I mean, it's impossible to you couldn't, really.
Yeah.
It's impossible
been there.
To prove.
Could be anything. Anywho, he lets Lude loose on the gang and then retires to his boudoir to be a creep at Pan again. Great.
Just took a break for plot and then went back to his business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, by the way, before all the Del Taco stans attack me on Twitter, Del Taco was created in the 60s, so never mind.
So it came first.
Yes.
Listen, this is important taco lore.
Yeah.
I would not minimize it.
No.
Wouldn't have guessed.
Yeah.
And hey, I spared us a minute before we have to get back to this.
You're prolonging it. You need to rip the Band-Aid off.
All right.
I skipped the whole creep saga and skipped straight to, after all this, Goku is still slapping his ass.
Yeah, Goku is like trying to like do like a Krillin butt slap to taunt Lude and kind of kite him around because they... can't seem to get, like, a solid hit on him.
He's just too strong of a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Got thick baby skin.
Yeah. We know that's tougher than regular skin.
People talk about us, you know, soft as a baby's bottom. Mm-hmm. Don't talk as much about how tough that is.
Tough as a baby's chitin.
I mean, how else would babies survive?
Right.
With just an exo shell.
Just become more fragile as we get older.
Aww.
That tracks. Deltaki plays more dress-up with Pan, picking out a dress Chi-Chi wears, and also mimicking Pan's voice in the dub with a weird Southern Belle accent.
Mr. Deltaki, I love that dress.
It's so beautiful on me. You're so good at fashion.
This is so annoying. He can't even hear me.
Hey, Pan, what do you think about this number?
Oh, Mr. Deltaki, that's just lovely.
He doesn't really think I sound like that, does he? Put me down!
Mr. Deltaki sounds too formal, so please, just Deltaki.
Why, thank you, Deltaki. That's so nice of you.
Why, though?
I don't know. See... And this is what's so heartbreaking to me, is because I love fashion in anime.
Mm-hmm. He's ruining it.
To see it misused in such a way.
Used for evil. You hate to see the things you love in the hands of evil.
Mm-hmm.
That is so true.
Mm-hmm.
In the hands of a team that may not be equipped at handling the story that we've grown to enjoy for... And expect things from.
Just don't expect things.
You know what? Yeah. expect nothing.
Just like the summer heat. Give in. Accept your fate.
Sweat
it out.
Vile.
Speaking of prolonging, I hate that this is like the thing that they milk for suspense is him dressing her.
Yeah. Every time like he's about to like undress Pan, like something like distracts him or something.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, at least on the one hand, thank God for that.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, that means that like they know this is wrong.
Right.
Yeah. They know it's bad and not good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're still making us watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I will say though that Dothraki did brush Pan's hair into a delightful oxhorn style.
Oh.
That you kind of would find on the character Chun-Li from Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Pan says that when she gets home, she's gonna get rid of all of her dolls. Because she had no idea
she's
that apparently all dolls are cursed like this.
I hope not.
And yeah, through all this, Pan is just about as disgusted with Dothraki's behavior as we are now.
Mm-hmm.
And lets us know in her monologue that no other character can hear.
I do love all of the cutaways just to her unmoving face.
It's very good.
It's very suspenseful.
So Dothraki is interrupted by a voice, a deep, ominous voice telling him to report to the communication room immediately. He seems pretty shaken by this.
Time to be serious. Leave your dolls in your doll room.
Mm-hmm.
Except take the one that you love with you.
Take the one. Yeah. Yeah, he
tucks it right in his belt like a serious boy.
Serious boy on big boy errands. He flips a switch, revealing a high-tech room where he kneels before some kind of, like, holo communicator.
Pan is very impressed by this.
She is. The voice on the other end is referred to as Dr. Mew.
Pan's commentary through this, when he says the guy's name, and she's like, I wonder why he's talking to his doctor. In the English version.
Yeah.
Evil kind of Dr. Pan, not the doctor kind of doctor.
She realizes that after we get a good look at him, she says, so he's not your normal family doctor.
This is one cartoon-ass doctor.
Yeah, let's just do a quick rundown. We eventually do see Dr. Mew. He's like a disembodied voice for a little bit, but we eventually do see him, and he looks like a blue-skinned, like, pointy-eared recolor of, like, Dr. Jarrow.
Exactly.
With like,
cool guy glasses.
Cool, like, slick space sunglasses.
I didn't even think of that because I was stuck on it, his Robotnik mustache.
It's a lot.
He's got a mustache, and his eyebrow ridge, he doesn't have eyebrows, but his brow ridge has grown over the glasses. So his glasses are just sort of where his eyes are.
They're kind of just like wedged in there.
The way you would wedge in a monocle.
Yeah, but it's a both.
It's a whole glasses.
It's a bionicle.
A binocle.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it, a bionicle.
Dr. Mew seems pretty upset with Dothraki's progress because he really wants the Dragon Balls, like, a lot.
Like so much.
Dothraki reassures him by reporting that he has found two of them.
That's almost a quarter?
Yeah, it's a little more than a quarter.
Yeah.
2 out of 7.
Mew says something very fascinating to me, which is a. If the legend of the Dragon Balls appears to be scientific fact, then using them to take over the universe will be no problem at all.
That's not it at all, sir! We actually have two here in the shrine now! Is that a fact?
Okay, so he's not your normal family doctor.
If the legend of the Eternal Dragon turns out to be scientific fact, then my ambitions to control the universe would easily be fulfilled.
Ah, take over the universe!
It's a very specific want, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, also, once you... from what I understand, once you get your doctorate, that's kind of like the next step.
Yeah, it sounds yeah. right.
I mean, I haven't been to grad school, but I've been looking into it, and that's, you know, that's the end career path.
Hmm. So you get your doctorate, and then they give you the Dragon Balls?
No, you gotta find... The path to universal domination is really up to you. Dragon Balls are just one of many specialties. Goodness gracious. Specialities.
You need to use the... You need to use the Black Star Dragon Balls to finish out grad school, but you need to gather them all up within a year, otherwise your degree will become obsolete.
Oh, yikes.
You get that extra year for that, as opposed to, you know, the 6 months that you get if you're not going for the Dragon Balls.
I have a question. If yep. you had to guess what Daltaki's former occupation was, what would you have guessed?
I literally can't stop thinking about Del Taco. So,
see, like, that seems like a more fitting thing, because what Dr. Mew says is that he was a former con man, a smooth-talking con man, which I cannot believe.
Yeah. He keeps, like, saying, like, how persuasive he is and how he can use his charm to manipulate others.
We just learned last week that people in this cult haven't seen him for 50 years.
Right!
He's been in his room playing with dolls.
Citation needed.
He must be really persuasive for that to last 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Or he lied on his resume.
Or... that makes more sense, actually.
Which gives some credit to it. He is very persuasive through lying on his resume.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Mr. Dil Taki?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I had. Lord Lude shows up on the view screen, and we see Super Saiyan Goku and Trunks power up and topple him over.
I mean... It feels kind of like they're phoning in these action sequences a little bit.
I agree. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know why these need to be here or why these need to be so long.
You feel like there has to be because it's related to Dragon Ball Z, but we're more worried about this doll guy.
Yeah. Mew's like, now Daltaki. Did you make sure that Lude was powered up to full before you woke him up? And Daltaki's like, no, didn't do that. But it should be fine. It's not a problem.
It's fine.
He's fine.
He's up to level 2, so it should be fine.
It's more than fine.
Turns out Lude is useless at level 2.
Apparently. But, at the same time, Mew is intrigued by this display of power from our heroes.
Indeed.
Goku and Trunks continue to put the hurt on Lude, but he just won't be defeated. He shoots a bunch of I-beams, and he spins his arms like a pair of windmills.
He doesn't do anything with his windmill arms, he just spins them around real fast.
Spins them. I'm gonna spin my arms, and if you run into them, it's your fault!
That intimidation factor.
Mm-hmm. It's the mind games. Mew is completely fed up with Daltaki, who is just groveling and is just completely just... If he had any charm to spare, it has dissolved into nothing. And we get to see some backstory, or hear it at the very least, about how, yeah, Lude was a con man on the streets, but, like, Mew picked him up and taught him everything he knows, and is like this big protege, right?
Do you think...
This is on Dr... What's his name?
Mew?
Mew. Dr. Mew. I was thinking of somebody we meet later. Dr. Mew. That's on him. You shouldn't get your protege from con folk on the streets.
Do you think he passed on the doll obsession as well?
I don't know. To me, it seems like that's like, oh, that's an odd quirk that my young student has, but, you know, maybe that's just what the kids are doing these days. It's whatever. No, Miu, it's not whatever.
Have some standards.
Trunks and Goku blast Lude with a beam from both sides. There's a big explosion. There's a dust clearing. Lude is fine. Meanwhile, Pan coaches from the sidelines as a doll.
Can they hear her?
She's trying so hard.
You still got some meter left. Go for a super.
Boy, if only any of these characters had psychic abilities that they could, you know, if hear only. What Pan is thinking.
It's such a shame. Miu senses that Pan has a lot of latent energy and demands to know, like, what's the deal with this doll? Dotake explains, you know, Pan is with these intruders. I'm, you know, saving her for my collection because that's
my
life.
She's my favorite.
She's my favorite. But Miu's like, yo, this doll has a lot of amazing potential. Feed it to Lude and get him up to full power. Duh. You can apparently still do that. So go do it.
You can plug it in. Plug it in mid-charge.
Mm-hmm. Dotake does not like this turn of events, and he refuses. He's like, no! No, not Pan, not my favorite! For his insolence, he is punished, and gets turned into a doll himself!
Oh, how the tables have turned.
Ah, you have become what you most love.
Sweet irony. They both get blown away by a gust of wind, and land into the doll pot.
Doll pot.
The doll pot, and the dolls and, like, the people's souls appear to be separated, and then Lude eats their souls.
Maybe it's easier to separate your soul once you've been turned into a doll.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it kind of loosens the skin of your mortal coil.
I usually get that just from watching TikToks. Quick way to separate your soul from your body. So, from this supercharge, Lude reaches maximum power and has reached his final form, a mad metal baby with angry eyes and is now red.
Yeah, he doesn't transform so much as just have a red ambient light turn on outside of him.
Yeah.
That's how you know he's done charging. When that light comes on.
That's the little lightning bolt. Do you have any final thoughts for episode 13?
Every episode I try to find something I like, because it's hard. And this episode, I just enjoyed after one of Lude's explosions, Goku got, like, slammed into a wall upside down, and he just hangs out there for a bit, having a think, laying upside down on the wall. And I just appreciate taking a moment to have a think.
I like the baby windmill.
That was in second place.
Episode 14 of Dragon Ball GT is The Battle Within.
The Japanese title roughly translates to Catch the Rhythm? Capture Lude!
That's very good.
Mm-hmm. There were two exclamation points. I had to really...
Yeah. I heard it. I felt it.
Yeah, I felt that, yes. Mm-hmm. So, Lude's at full power, and he goes on a big... We say rampage, but really, at this point, it's a tantrum.
The images, the still images of Lude's face are very good react images, I feel. Because it's a very... I can't even describe it. It's a good face. It's worth... This episode is worth watching for Lude's face.
Mm-hmm. He shoots a bunch of eye lasers and just starts blowing up stuff outside of the temple. We cut to Pan, who has a gross dream about Dotake being a creep at her.
He's gonna kiss her.
But then she wakes up in what I would like to call the doll void.
It's the shadow realm. Just a purple void of nothing.
Yeah.
Except these dolls.
Except these dolls. And in that void is Pan, and also the real Master Dotake, who proceeds to try and kiss her.
Just like she dreamed.
Only this time, hand grabs Daltaki and proceeds to just slap the shit out of him for 5 minutes straight.
Oh, yeah. Fuck him up, Pan.
It's
good. It's cathartic as heck.
That's why I just typed, get his ass, for half a page.
Ah, oh, she's no doll anymore. She's a ruffian.
I'm not a prize to be won. Slap. And also, everyone else in the doll void is here as well. Like, all the cultists and stuff that got turned into dolls, they're all here.
The first guy we saw get turned into a doll shows up. The Parapara brothers are here.
The Parapara brothers are here!
Mm-hmm.
I am so happy. I was so afraid that last episode, when they got turned into dolls, that, like, we would never see them again.
Me too. But here they are.
I love these boys.
Back with a vengeance.
Pan fires a beam at Daltaki, but it misses and just ricochets all around the doll void before finally landing square in the face of Daltaki.
Got him. Tricked him real good. Made him think he was safe.
Aha! So the cultists have begun turning on Daltaki, and they want to rough him up real bad for putting him through hell and back. But Daltaki warns that if they kill him, they will be trapped in Luj forever with no means to get out.
Means to get out, you say?
So he is being pressured into figuring out how to get everyone out of there by Pan leading a rallying cry. She goes, "Who wants to get out of here?" And the cultists kind of do like a half-hearted like.
You think they're having a nice time?
These are pretty slow to get on board.
Yeah, which is wild for someone who's for people who have been absorbed by a baby machine doll and are trapped in the doll void.
Yeah.
Pan's maybe. No, come on. She's at like a spirit rally here. It's like, put some oomph into who wants to get out of here, and then they go crazy.
Yeah, maybe they were just having a nice, like, chill time in there.
It's a place that plays nothing but vaporwave.
It seemed like a hard planet to be, you know, living on, especially in those, you know, rough cloaks and de-identifying masks.
A harsh world.
Just nice to have a float.
Yeah.
In a doll void.
You know, it's like those float spas where they immerse you in, like, highly salinated water.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
That you're just,
sensory
like...
sensory deprivation tanks.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a massive, like, sensory deprivation doll robot.
That sounds
sensory
nice.
Deprivation baby.
That's the new dance craze that's sweeping the nation. Do the sensory deprivation baby. So, Lude continues to roar and shoot eye lasers and blow up the landscape and stomp around. And within Lude... Daltaki is hesitant to spill the tea, because fearing the wrath of Dr. Mew. But
he already turned you into a doll.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah. At this point, like, what do you got to lose?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just switch your loyalties to the people who are clearly winning.
Do a trading. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's a cool thing to do.
But Pan knows exactly how to make him talk. With a funky para-para beat.
Yeah! Oh, this was so good. It's like, boy, if only we had people in this doll void who could make people, you know, move and talk against their will.
Mm-hmm.
In a fun, not torture way.
In a funky DDR way.
Yeah.
The Parapara brothers put their dance hypnosis on Daltaki, and he is easily and effortlessly swept up into the beat.
I mean, I was too.
Yeah.
You know.
He's even like, he's spitting rhymes, he's spitting verses.
And they ease him into it too. They get him talking about himself, which is everybody's favorite subject.
It's like, what's your name? What are you about? And
what's
like,
your
yeah.
claim to fame? How do we get out of this robot?
And then he points up and he goes, "That red cell over there!" And he goes, "Ah, oh, fuck."
Just turns out it was the giant glowing red button hovering above us all like the eye of God.
It was a Zelda game the whole time.
Yep. So there's this big red cell with like a bunch of like veins coming out of it. And we learn that Lute isn't just a machine. He's bionic. He's a biomachine formed from a mutated cell from Dr. Mew's own body.
Gross.
And we see a little cool flashback thing of Mew, like, messing around with DNA with some cool, funky future gloves.
It was cool science.
I enjoyed it.
He's got funky future gloves that let him mess around with the chemical composition of his DNA itself.
So, Pan sees out of a view screen, which is here now, that Goku is getting crushed by Daltaki's hand. Always with the crushing, Goku. He's just always getting squeezed by monsters.
Well, you can't punch him. He takes the punching really well.
Yeah, that's true. Pan lets out a beam onto that weak point, and it causes Lu to flinch and let Goku go. But then, it doesn't destroy him because there's a twist to this weak point that Daltaki had failed to mention up until now. In that, it needs to be blasted from the inside and the outside at the same time.
I mean, to be fair, nobody asked. Can't be specific.
But still, come on, Daltaki, it's like you want to be stuck in the doll void.
Maybe this is the least stress he's been in his entire life, is just floating in a doll void.
That could be.
Mm-hmm.
Pan laments that he is not able to tell Goku to shoot at Lude's heart, which is where the weak point is. She tries roughing up Daltaki for answers.
It turns out there is somebody with psychic powers here, and it's not Goku.
It's not Goku this time.
I in my notes, I wrote, did the sarcastic, oh, if only we knew anyone with psychic powers, blah, Goku. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the line under it, oh, we do!
It's the Parr brothers.
They're psychic.
They are psychic.
Which makes perfect sense. They control your mind with their music.
Here's my question. Is King Kai out to fucking lunch right now?
He's driving his car. Hanging out with Gregory.
It's too far away. It's just not on his radar.
Bad sick. There's no... getting no bars in the doll void.
Mm-hmm.
It's the worst. Oh, at this point, once again, Daltaki starts being a creep on Pan again, going like, hey, I helped you. Like, are we square? Are we good? And then gets punched into next week by Pan.
Yay!
Yeah.
Oddly enough, in Japanese, Pan didn't even know Daltaki was there and was just doing like a yatta victory punch into the air. And turned around and was like, oh, hey, what's up?
Either way, he got what he deserved.
So we get to see how the Parapara brothers do their telepathy. Aaron, would you like to narrate this part?
Oh my gosh, I sure would. First they put on a little tuxedo, then they pull out some microphones, and then they start singing in a little song.
Singing.
I wish that as much effort had been put into this song as was put into their, like, mind control rhythm.
Boom, para, para. Boom, para, para. Boom, para. Yeah.
Because this could have been so fun.
I agree.
And it was still fun, but there was potential there that was missed, I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they, according to the Parra brothers, they need to sing in order to use their telepathy. Telepathy. Pan is not thrilled about this.
They don't sing, though. They kind of just talk on one note, but they're not really singing.
They were kind of trying to do like a da-da-da bit.
But that's like how you start, and then you get to do a song after that.
I know, it's kind of disappointing and a bit of a missed opportunity. Goku hears the voices from the Parpar brothers.
And then they don't even keep it up. After a minute, they just start talking like
normal.
Yeah,
they just start trying. they never actually had to sing this whole time. Pan is so mad. It's like, this is horseshit. Why did you... they tell Goku to shoot at the heart. He does. Well, at first he doesn't even see the weak point. But Pan fires at it from the inside, which lights it up for Goku to spot.
It's a nice little twinkling star for him to aim at.
So Goku blasts the heart, but unfortunately they mistimed the beams.
It has to be at the same exact time.
Daltaki keeps insisting this point, like, the same time!
No, you idiots, not different times!
It's a three-frame window. So the Paras suggest they time it with a three count, which Goku says that he's not great at.
Because it's numbers.
Because it's numbers, even if it's three.
Those Saiyans and their numbers.
That's three more numbers than he's comfortable with.
Yeah.
But his solution is, to be fair, much simpler and easier to remember.
Yeah, exactly. After a few mistimed shots, they decide... Well, first of all, they just said... Goku's like, man, I'm just really bad at numbers. If only there was, like a phrase we could use before a beam goes off. And I'm like, do you mean the Kamehameha? Which is what you say every time.
No. Pepper Mm-mm. Pot, Pickle Pot, Purple Pot.
Why don't we say Pepper Pot, Pickle Pot, Purple Pot, then we fire?
That's the newest Kamehameha. Pepper Pot, Pickle Pot, Purple Pot.
Why, or, Goku?
in the original Japanese, pork bowl, tempura bowl, chicken and egg bowl.
Oh, that makes so more sense, but still. Still, Goku. You love beams as much as you love food.
Mm-hmm.
At some point before this, Trunks got, like, knocked out, which I assume only happened because he would have had perfect rhythm.
Yeah. He would have had excellent rhythm. He literally was part of a fusion. Like, you need to know... You need to be in sync with someone.
You're right! Oh, he's got so much experience being in sync.
Yeah. So, eventually, after a few more mistimed shots, they get everyone in the doll void to cheer, and they all go,
Pepper Pot! Pickle Pot!
Purple Pot!
And they launch beams, and it hits at the same time, and they bring Lude to his destruction.
R.I.P. Lude.
He closes his baby doll eyes for the last time.
And all the dolls stream out in a beautiful green sort of rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
Back into the doll pot.
Which then explodes.
Because all the people are coming out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're fine and they're safe.
Everybody's okay.
Yay. Giru shows up.
Yay!
And immediately gets kicked away by Pan.
Aww, beans.
And then we end episode 14 with Daltaki flying away in a little, like, Dr. Wily escape ship, laughing at our heroes.
Yeah.
Oh, and we also get a Dragon Ball, by the way.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any final thoughts for episode 14?
As slow as this episode was, it was relatively a delight. It had revenge, returns of old enemies, bad singing, awkward timing. All my favorite things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Once it got around to, like, the point this episode was trying to make, it got fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish the Parapar brothers a good, long dance career. Also, shout out to this weird cult whose leader kept changing hands, like, every 30 seconds.
Oh my god, I even wrote, I had to, like, take a break in my notes and, like, write down the chain of command.
Yeah, let's break this down. So let's start with the Para-Para brothers, right? Because they're the first antagonist of this ilk we see. They report to the cult, which is led by General Moochie Moochie.
Cult leader with whip.
Cult leader with whip, but that's actually not the real cult leader. The real cult leader is the whip, which is just named Moochie.
The sentient whip that turns into an alien.
But it turns out the real, like, oracle of the cult, like the true leader, is Master Daltaki, who reports to Dr. Mew.
And in between is Lud, who we thought was, like, Apocalypse God, but turns out to be a big baby.
Yeah. So,
a very complicated cult.
It's a lot.
I hate to be an intern for this cult. I'll just say that right now.
I feel like it's some kind of pyramid scheme.
Oh, it's gotta be.
How many souls do you have in your downline? Instead of we're trying to resurrect a demon machine god by getting everyone to buy shitty leggings and press on nails.
Oh, that's my entire Facebook. That's why I don't get on Facebook anymore. I got an invite to be in somebody's life coaching group, and I...
Oh, no.
I don't wanna.
I feel like you could easily abuse that if you were bored on a weekend.
Oh, just string them along?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your product. Episode 15 is The Beginning of the End.
Japanese title roughly translates to, "That's just great." Pan runs away. Was that enough stank on it?
That was plenty of stank. That was the correct amount of stank.
Thank you.
This title is just so fed up.
Got so many exclamation points.
We open with Pan making a nice and delightful stir fry aboard the ship and determines correctly that it needs more garlic.
Always need more garlic.
You always need more garlic.
Mm-hmm. I want some garlic right now.
Same. My dinner's cooking downstairs. I can smell all the garlic I put in it. I'm so excited. Giru is a sneaky little thief, and he takes a little chunk of meat and says in a super sciencey analytical way that it tastes like duty.
I'm on Giru's side here, that he is mimicking Pan, because she, like, popped a piece of it to decide that it needs more garlic, and then he kind of did the same thing.
Okay.
And he's a robot. He eats metal. He can't decode the composition of this. It's organic.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The same as fertilizer.
It's what he... yeah, he calls it, like, the chemical composition is similar to fertilizer. Which I think he thinks is a very helpful thing to say.
It helps things grow.
Yeah, fertilizer is a helpful thing.
Food for plants. And you're like a plant, right?
Yeah.
You're alive.
Just like a plant. Trunks and Goku are chatting in the cockpit while Pan continues to harass Giru. They posit the notion of heading back to Earth to drop Pan off and maybe pick up Goten, because we just need some people with, like, higher power levels.
Oh, come on. Aww. Then train her, you dinguses.
I know! Train her, Goku, the person who trained someone for several years.
That's his favorite hobby.
She is way more ready and willing to fight than Gohan was.
Mm-hmm. She wants to be a part of this. It's, like, so bad. And she overhears this, too.
Of course.
Oh, it's naturally
awful. And she is super upset by this conversation and runs off.
As you would be.
Mm-hmm.
Giru follows her and comforts Pan with a fine floral handkerchief.
This is so sweet. He says she's leaking.
Han is mad at first, but then realizes that she shouldn't be taking out her personal grief on Giru.
Yeah. Which,
that's a very grown-up thing, Pan. Like, good on you.
She's growing up. I'm so proud of her. This is the emotional meat and potatoes that I've been wanting.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Got a yummy dinner here.
Yeah.
It needs more garlic, though. Good. Gira discovers a Dragon Ball on a green planet up ahead. And Pan decides that this is a perfect opportunity to find it and prove her worth to the crew.
You shouldn't have to prove your worth to your grandpa.
I always forget that, and it just makes it sadder.
Yeah, despite the fact that, like, she's got another grandpa who loves her unconditionally. She got Papa Satan.
Goku is a jerk in many ways, but he's kind of a sexist dingus.
Kinda, yeah.
She's a girl.
Yeah. Well, it could be girl, but it could also be, like, young as well. Or a combination of both.
I return to my Gohan comments from earlier.
Fantastic point. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. The crew exit the ship onto a desert world with many, many suns. And they have cool sunglasses.
Yeah,
cool is strong. Goku's got, like, swim goggles.
They work with what they have.
Pan looked good.
This planet, however, is too hot. Far too hot. It's got too many suns. Too many suns. And as they head back into the ship, which has functioning AC, it starts to buckle because turns out they set down their ship onto the soft sands of a antlion style trap.
Yeah. Oh, I was trying to remember the name of that animal. And it's an antlion.
Only this antlion, this space antlion, is like a giant anime antlion that's like a billion feet long. And Trunks later calls it a big snake thing, which, come on, it doesn't even look like a snake.
Come on, Trunks, it's a centipede thing.
Yeah, it's a gross, it's a bug. The antlion spits a bunch of sand at Pan before constricting the ship, which causes a bunch of, like, water and coolant to spurt and leak out of it.
Now Pan and the ship are leaking.
Aww. The ship is crying.
Oh, hate when that happens.
They get chased away by some blasts from Goku and Trunks, and, well, they have to do some repairs before they can move on.
These repairs are so funny. How do you fix a crumpled spaceship?
Trunks appears to be sealing holes on the ship with a clothes iron.
Of course this is what Bulma would pack. Of course this is... Bulma would design a spaceship that could be fixed with a clothes iron, or she would design a clothes iron that could also fix a spaceship.
Yeah, either or.
Bulma
yeah.
Briefs is my hero and a genius.
She's everything. Pan... keeps wanting to help everyone, but she's kind of in the same way that, like, all kids want to, like, sometimes, like, just be involved. But she gets brushed off by literally everyone, and she is fed up.
That's so frustrating. She has just been through a lot.
Right? Give her a break.
Yeah. Give her a job to do.
Yeah.
Even if it's a made-up job. Say, we have a very important job for you, Pan. And it is to... get sand out of the steps.
You know what? You give a kid a job, and they you know, they love doing that job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give them a task.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so adamant on a chore wheel before. Like, tell Pan to just clean, like, the interior, because we got jostled by all, like, our space combat and this antlion thing. So we got sand everywhere. Store... some of that delicious stir fry, add some garlic first, but then store some of that delicious stir fry so we can eat it later after we've done fixing the ship. So many tasks.
Mm-hmm. So many possible jobs. But no, they just tell her to go play somewhere.
Go play.
Ugh.
Ugh, I hate that.
Just slam the door. Go outside. Don't be back till dinner. Pan is obviously frustrated with this. And she gears up to run away from home.
She's gonna go find a Dragon Ball and prove she's a valuable member of the team.
All by herself, with her trusty gear, an umbrella, and a canteen.
Does not bring the Dragon Radar.
Does not bring the one thing that finds the Dragon Balls in this desert planet that is all sand.
But, I mean, she's trying.
She is trying.
She doesn't need Giru.
Yeah, and she and Giru are still, you know, they're on the rocks right now, emotionally.
Rocks are kind of all there is in that terrain.
Yeah. So Pan flies off, but that quickly turns into a bad idea, as the overwhelming heat and suns of the planet drain her energy and she has to walk instead. See, I like, at least this show, at least this planet is giving the characters a reason why they can't do their full Dragon Ball powers.
Yeah, it's too hot.
It's too hot. So she walks along the sands with her umbrella to provide shade, taking water breaks here and there.
But eventually the water runs out.
It runs dry. And Pan gets tired and exhausted and wants to go home, but she doesn't know where home is. She's lost.
Oh no.
Giru, concerned for Pan, flies off into the distance to try and look for her.
Goku and Trunks give more credence to Giru than they do to Pan.
Honestly.
Pissed me off, because they're like, oh, where are you going, buddy? Okay, have fun.
Have a good one. Bye-bye. Yeah.
But we do learn that it is 112 degrees.
Yep.
That's too many.
Hot. Too many.
Giru gets chased around by that antlion centipede thing. Meanwhile, Pan finally collapses from exhaustion, whilst another antlion looms in the foreground. She starts to slide on the sands towards the deadly trap. We cut back to Daltaki.
No!
Who exists again. Reporting back to Miu, talking about using the gang's energy for research to help take over the universe and all that. But the big office chair spins around and it's not Dr. Miu sitting in it.
But a Some new other high-up baddie.
Another high-up baddie. This guy's name is General Rildo.
For real?
For Rildo. the Japanese pun for him is a flippy round of drill, naturally.
Hmm.
General Rildo gives Daltaki a final message from Miu, which is to blast his head clean off his shoulders.
Drop dead.
Bam! And then he immediately turns around to the view screen, and there's Miu. It's like, hey, good job.
I don't miss Daltaki, but this general is hella boring.
Mm-hmm.
He's just very generic. The most interesting about him is his swim cap, and his voice is the narrator's voice.
That's true, yeah.
The narrator was like, I want to do something to challenge myself.
He gets a new assignment from Dr. Miu. Get the Dragon Ball from our heroes and bring back Goku and company alive.
The living flesh is key to my studies.
Oh yeah, we didn't establish that Miu has, like, I guess a German accent?
It's just kind of a generic evil doctor accent. It kind of bounces around between, like, German and Russian and generic European.
You know, evil.
Yeah, evil. Not American.
It worked for Doofenshmirtz, and it'll work for you. Giru detects Pan in the distance. Goku, meanwhile, beats up a giant antlion near their ship and realizes that Pan is missing.
Good job.
Trunks chides him for playing too near the ship.
Yeah, chides Goku for, like, the same shit, and Pan was wanting to help, and Goku's the one goofing off.
Ah.
Over it.
Over it.
Canceled. Pan starts to get dragged down through the sand into the antlion trap, but wakes up just in time. The antlion sandblasts Pan's umbrella to shreds before going in for the kill. But then, off from the distance, Giru flies in at the last second and just starts whipping ass.
Do-do-do-do! I'm not happy with this.
You're not happy with this?
I'm not! I want Giru and Pan to reconcile. I don't want it to be because Pan is suddenly so weak she has to be rescued by the robot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She got damseled again.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bummer.
She got damn damseled.
Damn damsels. Damn. Like how we try to find something good in every episode. I will say the image of little baby Giru like whipping ass and just like kicking this centipede antlion monster into next week was very fun to watch. It gave me the kind of rush of sincere childlike glee, like when I first watched Attack of the Clones for the first time and Yoda whips out his lightsaber and just starts doing crazy Jedi flippy spins around.
Oh yeah, that was the coolest.
Which,
you know what, you're right. That was a good thing.
Yeah.
I got caught up in my grumpiness at, well, it's justified frustration.
Yeah, no, it's valid.
Yeah.
It's completely valid.
Because the way the storytelling works is we're like shaming Pan for daring to take any action.
Mm-hmm.
How
mm-hmm.
Shame on you, female character.
Don't you? Yeah. And then rescued by the compass.
Mm-hmm. But it was a cool moment when he did a little Giru Super Saiyan.
Yeah, Super Giru.
Yeah.
At the very least, with Lude, Pan had a hand, had agency in freeing herself and others.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she saved the day. Mm-hmm. Really.
They wouldn't have won if not for her.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, and then to top it all off, we end. When she wakes up, we get a Goku Beepus again.
Yep.
Just to add insult to injury.
Just to add Beepus to injury. Yeah, basically, Giru finds a watering hole, like an oasis quarry thing. And yeah, Goku does some skinny diving, as he is wont to do anytime there is a body of water in this show. Every day is No Pants Friday for Son Goku.
I mean, good for him.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Live your bliss.
Yeah.
So they found water to fix the ship with. They're cooling off. Giru also found the Dragon Ball in that time.
Yep, sure.
So Giru just kind of resolved this whole planet.
Thanks, Giru.
Thank you, Giru. Giru and Pan reconcile, which is, you know, is the ends we want. The means were not as great, but
mm-hmm.
the ends were good.
Yeah.
And Trunks and Pan have a heart to tart. Trunks and Pan have a heart to tart. One more time.
A heart to tart.
A heart to tart. No. And Trunks and Pan have a heart-to-heart and resolve their drama. Pan is, like, now officially a part of the team, and Trunks is happy to have her.
Yay!
And the gang take off to the stars once more. Does anyone have any final thoughts for episode 15?
That's all I have.
Yeah.
Episode 16. Giru's Checkered Past.
Da, da, da. Oh, that's me. the Japanese title roughly translates to Machine Planet M2. Giru the Backstabber?
What? Giru with a knife?
the vine of the... What do you have?
A knife! Giru. No! We open up this episode with Pan flying the ship and dogfighting with a bunch of enemy ships and lasers and all that.
Whoa, what have our heroes gotten into?
Blasting them left and right, but then hundreds more appear and they swarm the ship. Oh man, they blast it to pieces with lasers! And it turns out this is actually a video game that Pan and Giro are playing.
Yeah.
She was doing well there for a minute.
It went on long enough that when it started, I was like, oh, this is a video game. Mm-hmm. And but then it went on long enough that I was like, I mean, maybe it's not. Nope, I was right.
Maybe this is one of those yeah. Media Res episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So this was like some... I don't know how this worked. So did Gear, like, command all the enemy ships? Is this like an asymmetrical multiplayer thing? Did Bulma program
games.
This into the ship at the beginning? I don't know.
I have no idea. It's like something Giru is doing, because Giru is the enemies, but also is like winning 50 to nothing.
Yeah, the score is 50-0, and still, Pan demands the run back.
Good for her. Goku very uncharacteristically is calling for her to just give up. She's never going to win.
That is the most un-Goku shit I have heard in this show.
Yeah.
He is trying to sleep. Maybe, there. Maybe he's tired.
He's a cranky boy.
But then, you know, why wouldn't he be like when he was training Gohan and saying it's important to take breaks? Goku.
He's just being a little cranky boy.
Goku's contain multitudes.
GCM.
DCM. Trunks asks Giru to let Pan win, but like not let Pan know that he let her win. But Giru demands that Pan get good.
All right, Giru. Maybe get a better tutorial.
Yeah.
Or have better accessibility options in your game.
Yeah, why are you spawning like 300 of yourself on the screen and then obliterating me with lasers? Giru's being like the fighting game person who's just like, stop mashing. Why are you mashing? Why are you dashing in full screen? I can see you.
Can I tell you, as a side note, one of the proudest moments of my high school life was going over to some guy's house. It was like a friend of a friend. And he had whichever Dead or Alive was out at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And was like bragging on how good he was. And I was like, I want to try. And I was like, which button is the kick? Mm-hmm. This one? Okay. And then I beat him.
Get his ass!
Yeah, nice. with just the kick button.
Fuck him up, Melissa.
Yeah. I was very happy. He Less. Was not. I hope he's still mad.
Pan is still mad. The rematch commences, and then there's more explosions, and there's lasers, and there's a goofy-looking controller that they're using. It is not a fruitful venture, because Pan gets bodied again.
But she's got that spirit of never giving up.
Is there a Zenkai boost for video games?
That's the problem. There isn't.
Up, down, up, down, left, right, left, right.
If Vegeta saw you using a cheat code, he would immediately just snap your controller in half.
It's not cheating if it's built into the game.
Only a true warrior uses
all the tools at their disposal. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy that demands that like true warriors don't use like the Smash Ball.
Ooh.
All right.
Contentious. So Pan is upset about this and chases Giru yakety-sack style all over the ship. She tackles Giru to the ground, and then a bunch of weird sparks start shooting out, and Giru starts glowing all blue and flailing and stuff.
That's never happened before.
Nope. But he's fine in the next shot, so let's not worry about it.
Nothing happened. It's all good.
No, it's fine.
He's not broken. It's all fine.
It's fine. Everything's fine. Giru passes by their home planet, which is a metallic-looking world with these sort of hexagonal like veins coursing throughout. He laments and wants to return home.
Kiru, phone home.
Pan wants to turn the ship around and land on the planet to visit home, but Trunks thinks it's way too dangerous.
Cause that, not captain, not general, doctor. Dr. Mew is out there, and apparently they've had some scrapes with him recently that we didn't get to see.
Apparently they've found out about the existential threat somehow, for some reason. Oh, wait, no, because Daltaki told them about Mew, I guess?
It sounded like there were some, like, side adventures that happened off-screen.
Yeah.
Is what it sounded like to me. But who knows?
We've been invading all those Mew bots this whole time.
I feel like we've lost the plot a little bit in that the reason not to stop is that ticking clock on Earth, maybe? Remember that?
What was planet was that?
Was it Emeka?
Maybe it's That's so long ago, you know, like.
Oh, it was that planet just, like, with the giant on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that must have been it.
Yeah. We gotta save that giant with the toothache.
Oh, we already did, though. We took the tooth out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we can go on vacation now, then.
Yeah. It's fine.
All right, well then, yeah, let's head up to this planet. Yeah, Trunks reluctantly eventually relents, and we cut to a planet that we'll find out is going to be the planet they're about to land on. The planet is called M2, and it's this rundown, sort of like futuristic cityscape that's all in ruins and it's overgrown with nature reclaiming everything.
I was so excited and hopeful this would be like a dystopian robot society.
Same.
But the planet appears to be deserted.
Except for a certain General Rildo. Which I assume he's on the same planet, because they cut right to him. He heads to this control desk and learns that the gang have changed course to Planet M2, and he is very satisfied with this news, saying that their T-2006 has finally worked his magic on them.
T-2006?
T-2006?
Those were numbers in Giru's serial code.
Those were.
They were. The whole thing was DB4649T2006RS.
I'm so glad you had that down.
You just remember that, right?
No, it's written down.
No. No, you just remember that, right?
Yes, I remember that from when Giru said it that one time.
Mm-hmm. Mew commends Rildo's progress over the Holo chat, but again states that he wants those folks brought back in alive, and apparently his crew has some unconventional methods. And then we get to a commercial break.
I feel like the communication wasn't really cleared up because at the end, Rildo was like, you flatter me with your compliments. Which I would want to clear up. Like, no, Rildo, seriously, I want you to not kill these people.
Like, no, please. I mean, really want you to just drive this point home. Do not let these people die.
Sure, leave them alive. Wink.
Wink.
No, we're not winking. We're not winking. I need you to leave them alive.
Yeah, no, I got you.
I got you,
sneaky little imp.
Nudge, nudge.
So the gang disembark onto M2 and explore the scenery. Goku lets out a cry of pain, having bit into one of the local apples, but it appears this apple is hard and heavy like a cannonball. It's made of metal.
Aw, beans, you can't eat that.
It's pretty,
not even
though.
Not a Saiyan can eat metal fruit.
It does look pretty. Pan thinks so, too. She wants like, this on her, like, mantle.
Sure.
But mm-hmm. Giru looks at this and thinks it's a yummy little snack. Chomps that apple like a sneaky little robot. And then proceeds to, like, freak out like before, what with the glowing and the blue and all that.
It's like a cat on catnip, but more.
Mm-hmm. Goku resolves this by punching Giru like an alarm clock.
Great.
Yep.
Yep.
That's the best response when someone's freaking out in a way you haven't seen before.
That's the Goku touch.
Just do them a violence.
Just do upon a violent. That's that gentle Goku that Goku English that we expect.
He does apologize.
He does.
To which Gyo responds, "The fruit is good."
Good for you, Giru. That fruit is good. Eat that fruit, Giru. They traverse the planet, exploring what I put down in my notes as the ruins of capitalism.
Indeed.
Because it basically looks like an overrun mall planet.
It does. Yeah. It's got that escalator.
Mm-hmm.
Some big billboards.
Neon. Giru says, "All that you see is Giru's home." It's totally empty, and Goku just, like, cries out, like, "Hey, is anybody there?" And the alarm goes off. Like a big klaxon.
Goku.
You goober. This makes a bunch of, like, off-color Girus appear. Like, a whole, like, hundreds and hundreds of them.
Yeah, where Giru is white with a red eye, these are kind of gray with a green eye.
Yeah, like a gray with like a little bit of blue in it.
That's like Giru. Giru is the variant repaint.
Mm-hmm. Giru was the player 2 color if you picked him in character select. All of these robots, I'm just going to call them robots to separate them from Girus, even though they're a bunch of Girus. All these robots commend Giru. They call him, what was it, T-2006. They commend him for completing his great mission. General Rildo will be so pleased.
He deserves a medal.
Mm-hmm.
Is that... That's a weird thing for them because they eat the medal?
I guess.
That's he deserves a chocolate.
Yeah.
You get a nice candy bar. You get to choose something from the Good Boy snack basket.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. There's fruit roll-up in here.
Ooh.
And Dunkaroos. Ooh.
Ooh, is there a Kit Kat?
Not a Kit Kat, but there are...
Ooh, those like, tiny little Twix bars?
Little Twix. Yeah, it's got to all be fun-sized.
That's fine.
Mm.
Yeah. Giru starts to float away.
Bye, Giru.
Bye, Giru. And Goku thinks that Giru's heading off to find some food. In the English... I didn't check over into the Japanese, but in the English... Goku would like some enchiladas and blueberry pie, please. But if you can't find that, then a triple cheeseburger with barbecue sauce will do.
That is not Goku food. He hates that really kind of stuff. He hated the nachos at the big fight tournament.
Yeah. And especially during the times we've seen Goku eat, he usually eats, like, hearty, like Japanese foods.
Maybe he's got that child body. It's hungry for McDonald's.
Yeah.
He wants McDonald's. It's that, what is that? It's that,
the triangle. McDonald's.
And then Pan is McDonald's. Trunks pulls up and orders a single black coffee and leaves.
I feel like Trunks is we have food at home.
Yeah, you're right. Vegeta.
Vegeta is the
single
black coffee and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Pan just wants Giru to find a nice restaurant, she says.
And Goku yells after for fries with his burger, too.
Where can we find, what can fulfill all of this except, like, a cheesecake factory?
Yeah.
You named it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
All of these disparate, like, tastes and flavor profiles.
Or, I mean, it's like a mall planet, you know, food court.
Food court. Well, when we talk about the ruins of capitalism, I don't think anything quite encompasses that quite like A, a food court, and B, a cheesecake factory.
Very true.
Do you want to have a fever dream into a bucket of salad while being haunted by Egyptian snakes and symbols? And then have a nice, like, raspberry slice of cheesecake at the end? Come on by.
It's one of those cheesecake factories that's in the middle of one of those outdoor malls that's pretending to be a downtown, but there's no town attached.
I love those. I love those. I feel like I'm in an apocalypse when I walk through one of those. It's an apocalypse, and it has a Jose Bank. Giru continues to float away while the rest of the robots commend him and cheer him on. Once he's out of, I guess, earshot of our protagonists, he starts beeping and booping and reports in to General Rildo.
What?
Gasp.
What? Giru the backstabber?
Giru the backstabber!
A knife!
A knife!
How was this planned the whole time? They found him buried in the dirt.
I have no idea! How is this part of your your careful, cunning plan this whole time?
So cunning. So cunning, the plot cannot explain it.
Here's what I'm gonna say. They picked up Giru, they wound up on Creepy Doll Planet, and then, like, one of Miu's, like, you know, find it sensors, like, pinged on. It was like, oh, I made one of those. Okay. And they're with the heroes. Yeah. We got this. And he just...
Special mission for you.
Mm-hmm. Precisely. He's circumnavigating it and going back around like, oh yes, this was the whole time. Echelons of machinations you can't even begin to imagine. Gear reappears and leads the gang into an alley.
Great.
Where a bunch of spooky shadows show up.
There's some cool looking shadows. I'm ready for some cool robots.
Cool robots. Goku detects a spike of power, and from the shadows emerge a quartet of robot buddies not your buddies.
These robots are cool because they can emerge from shadows.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any robots that can do that. They can't do that in Transformers.
They don't introduce their names, but I have their names with me.
Oh?
Yep. They've got... the leader is a red robot named Commander Nezi. And then the other ones are Bizu, Nat, and Ribbit.
I love them.
And we're just gonna quickly do some name puns here. Nezi is the Japanese word for screw.
Huh.
Bizu comes from the French word vis, meaning screw, and is a loan word that is often used in Japanese. Nat is nut.
Nut.
And Ribbit is rivet.
Oh.
And Rildo is drill.
It's like a machine planet for machines.
Yeah. They emerge from the shadows and blast the gang with energy before signing off and revealing their names. The Sigma Force.
Ooh.
If these robots do not transform into a bigger robot, I am going to be so cross with this show.
They have to. One of them can, like, turn himself into a bunch of tiny little marbles that then coalesce into a nightmare mountain that then captures anything inside of it.
Holy shit, yeah. This
this robot is terrifying.
I love him. He's horrifying. Like, he turns into, like, he atomizes into these marbles, which then rain down upon the gang like bullets, and then those bullets turn into, like, these long shrapnel steel needles that trap everyone.
And then they're trapped inside of the robot's body.
Yep, then they get trapped inside the robo and doused with sleeping gas. Holy hell. Meanwhile, another one has a bunch of, like, extendy, punchy arms and tries to...
Meanwhile, Nat over here has extendable fists.
Mm-hmm. He can punch you all the way from over here.
I would buy that toy. It's called zoning.
It's true. You can't really make a toy that does what the first robot does.
Giru tries to interfere and parlays for Pan's safety. Giru's like, hey, but wait, let's not attack Pan. Trunks and Goku have the Dragon Ball, and Rildo wants the Dragon Ball, right? So let's just go to him.
And she can't escape anyway, so we can leave her be.
Yep, Pan is devastated by this betrayal. Giru with a knife.
I am also devastated. We've made so much progress with Giru.
I know!
Like, you love to hate him, but you don't want to actually hate him.
Right. The Sigma Force blasts off with the hostages and with Giru, leaving Pan alone to fend for herself on M2, the machine world.
I love that we're getting set up for Pan to save the day. She'd better get to save the day.
She better get to save the day.
I mean, we just spent a whole episode of her proving that she is part of this team.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, happened in questionable fashion, but, you know, we got the setup.
We got the setup.
Will we get the follow-through? Tune in next
week. Does anyone have any final thoughts on episode 16?
I really appreciated getting to see, like, some dinner scenes and some scenes of, like, what the sleeping situation is like on the ship.
Yeah.
Just some kind of slice of life, little just relaxed times.
It's been a while since we've gotten that.
Yeah. I like... in most anime, I just like downtime.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, the dire plot shit is great, but I like it when people are just having bread.
You know what would be a fun anime? It would be fun if it was like Terrace House, but in space.
Ooh. Terra like, House.
Yeah. Like just some, you know, space folks room together for a bit, maybe go on dates, maybe, you know, launch their fashion brand in space and go on little space adventures along the way.
I'm into that. Accomplishing dreams.
Yeah.
Falling in love. I have a Hail Satan-esque question for you all.
Ooh, I do too. I'm curious if it's the same.
What do you think happened to the Powerpaw Brothers?
That's
after
the
this?
Same as mine.
Yeah! Yeah!
High five!
Ow! Bam!
Bam!
What's their where'd their hypnotic psychic music career take them after their escapades on Doll Planet?
Well, what do you do when you like force it? Do they help their fellow cult members to like readjust to life, or do they make their way out of there?
Or do they fill up that power vacuum with their own charisma?
Ooh, that's dangerous.
They can control thoughts, and they've got fun outfits and a funky beat. Maybe we're gonna reform Doll Planet into dance cult planet.
You know, I want them to do good, but knowing them, they will not.
Mm-mm. I want to see, like, it's the whole planet of people just doing choreography. Like, it's that 80s, like, da-na-na-na, da-na-na, da-na-na-na, da-na-na, that we see.
Mm-hmm.
We're just doing, like, jazz aerobics.
Yeah, ooh, and they're building an army to challenge the Ginyu Force.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Captain Ginyu thinks he's got it made doing poses with 5 people. What about 500 people in a pose? What then, Ginyu?
Wait, so you're telling me that the Powerpaw Brothers are inventing the flash mob?
Yes.
Yes.
Flash mob in space.
Oh, I need it.
All right. That's a good... hold on to that. That's a good seed. Let's plant that in the ground. We're going to give it some fertilizer and water it, and we'll come back to it. In the meantime, would you all like a 4-star rating?
Yes, please.
Please.
Ooh. Well, at the end of each episode, what we like to do is we like to take various Dragon Ball characters and, deriving their birthday from their manga debut date, we flip over to the horoscope section and read off something that might help them or give them some insight into their situation. And this week, none other than my favorite and yours, Pan.
Yeah!
Pan.
She's a Taurus, right?
She is a Taurus with a manga debut date at the end of Dragon Ball Z of May 16th, 1995. So, just like Gohan, just like Piccolo, she's one of our Tauruses. Taurians?
Mm, sure.
Yeah. So, Pan, this is your reading. You need to get your new plan or project launched as soon as you can, so if you need help, ask for it now. Time is of the essence. Swallow your pride and talk to the person you know could get you across the finish line. Find out if they have the time to come to your rescue. Flattery might be your best bet, especially since this person considers you an excellent judge of character.
Wow.
Dave's gonna hear this and he is just going to have just a moment.
Just a full moment.
Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate all y'all who tune in every week. You can find us at destructodiscourse@gmail.com, and you can also tweet at us with the name destructo_disc, D-I-S-C, where you can find our Discord channel, the Destructo Discourse, Discourse Discord, in the pinned tweet. You can find the rest of us, where we do fun mashups and make-em-ups and fun goofs and talk about Mr. Satan. Aaron?
Yeah?
Where can we find you on the internet?
I don't do much of anything on the internet, but sometimes I jump in on your streams.
That's true. And my streams live on twitch.tv with the name JCavs, JAYCALVES, and that takes you to all my social stuff and Twitter, Insta, etc. Melissa, how about yourself?
Well, maybe when this airs, I'll be doing something on the internet again. And if and when I do, it's under the name Kristaia, KRISTAIA.
If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, Apple Music, I don't know what's called now. Where do the kids listen to the podcasts on these days?
I think it's Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
Sure. Or wherever you get your podcasts, go ahead and leave us a lovely comment and a lovely review. But if you have a chance to leave a star-based rating, we humbly request 4 stars, please. Only 4.
Why?
Black stars if they have them.
Ooh, yeah.
Mmm, yeah. Black stars, yeah.
Like licorice.
Delicious. Anise. Anise. Okay, two out of three licorice fans in this chat, that's fine.
I like the red licorice, not the black licorice.
Oh, you don't like the black licorice?
I don't. I love anise as a spice. I love anise cookies, but not so much licorice. But I haven't had it in a long time. Maybe now that I'm an adult, I'll appreciate the subtlety.
It's for an adult palate.
If you say so.
All that to say, give us the Gohan.
We're adults and we can appreciate him.
We can appreciate the nuances of Gohan. And that is what we demand.
This has been Destructo Discourse, and we're having a good time.
Don't you see that even when you're gone, I pray I'll get to see you one more day. I'd still worry about you. Don't you see that even when you're gone, I pray I'll get to see you one more day. I'd still worry about you. Don't you see? I know the world keeps spinning round. Whenever you are feeling down, hang on, I'll be there.
Not.